Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Good afternoon, everyone. Well, thank you. Thank you. I have the great pleasure to introduce our next two speakers, who are about to have a conversation concerning healthcare. And I thought hard about how to introduce these two men. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized how much they have in common.
It is a golden harvest today in the Savage Nation. In all the years I've been in radio, I've never seen a harvest of sound as we have seen today. A bumper crop for this coming October, Pumpkin Day. Here we had in one day Ted Cruz doing what needed to be done, which was filibustering the fools on the Hill. We had the president of so-called Iran, the so-called president of so-called Iran, refusing to meet with Obama, and the media saying that Obama and the president of Iran will not meet, without saying that the president of Iran ditched the meeting with Obama. At the same time that this was going on, wait, there's more. At the same time this was going on, shockingly, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Obama bought the United Nations. I mean, they must have paid someone off. I don't know what they bought, who they paid off. During the General Assembly meeting at the Global Initiative, wherever in New York City, they tie up the city to filibuster about Obamacare, to put on a giant infomercial. And, of course, the little man, the minuscule man, the Lilliputian, the man without a soul, the empty suit, Wolf Blitzer, runs the entire thing without a commercial on CNN. It's a pure infomercial about Obamacare, which is, of course, as you well know, socialized medicine. If you like the health care you've heard about in Havana, you're going to have it here in America. But that didn't stop Hillary Clinton from introducing Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and going on and on and on all day about the wonders of socialized medicine. That was number two or three. Then Obama at the UN the same day says that the world is... Well, you got to hear what I'm about to play for you. I think it's clip six. Here is your president at the UN giving us something that Goebbels would have loved. Listen to six.
We've begun to review the way that we gather intelligence so that we properly balance the legitimate security concerns of our citizens and allies with the privacy concerns that all people share. As a result of this work and cooperation with allies and partners, the world is more stable than it was 5 years ago. But even a glance at today's headlines indicates that dangers remain.
Have you ever heard anything like this in your entire life? This is the day after the Islamists kill non-Muslims, slaughter non-Muslims in Kenya, going person to person, making them recite Muslim-acceptable phraseology, then killing non-Muslims, including an eight-month pregnant woman. And this man says the world is more stable than it was 5 years ago, and he gets away with it. Okay, no more commentary on that one because it gets even more strange. Well, let me back up for a minute because I don't want to get ahead of myself. I got up very early today, and I felt like a child as I open my email every morning. I do so with trepidation some mornings. Other mornings, I don't do it with trepidation. Well, this morning I opened up my emails, and it was like a child opening up Christmas presents underneath a tree. I can't tell you what came. All I can ask you to do is go to michaelsavage.com and look at the top left. You're going to have to wait 24 hours to share the Christmas present with old Doc Savage. And I also have to tell you something personal before I ask you two questions. Well, actually, I'll give you the two questions so you'll continue listening to my meanderings and musings. One, has Ted Cruz done more harm than good? I don't think so. I think he's done far more good than harm. But when I tell you who's against Ted Cruz, well, it's the clearest sign that I've been right about everything all along. He was attacked by Bill O'Reilly, the Wall Street Journal, and Stephen Schmidt, who ran McCain's campaign off the rails, and Karl Rove, who I've said for years is a fraud through and through. And now it's Sean Hannity who gets all the guests and no one else can get it. Like, hello, Carl, again. We got the hot seat for Karl Rove. Yeah. Now we know why Hannity is off the air, pushed aside by the Kelly file. Yep. That's why he needs some nail polish to burnish his reputation. Fox News host Bill O'Reilly, Karl Rove, and Steve Schmidt, who advised Senator John McCain, in other words, destroyed McCain, in 08, attacked Ted Cruz. Now, Schmidt, who I've told you is a double agent, goes on MSNBC and attacks Ted Cruz and all of the others who are standing up for the average American, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, and Marco Rubio, even though Rubio is playing it both ways against the middle. Okay, give him credit where credit is due. Schmidt goes to MSNBC, goes to the enemy's channel. And he says, we've had this wing of the party running roughshod over the rest of the party. We're going to purge, you know, the moderates out of the party. No, Schmidt, one day you'll be purged out of the political scene. One day you will be purged off the political landscape when people realize that you've been running a scam behind everyone's back. Steve Schmidt is the one who told McCain not to come on my show. Steve Schmidt is the individual who apparently told Romney not to come on my show. Steve Schmidt is still advising others without knowing what's coming in this country. So that's question one. Is Cruz doing more harm than good, number one, or more good than harm? And then there's another one, a very controversial one, but I'm going to do it. The strange Pope. Catholics just jumped. They're as sensitive to this as Jews are to anything that says Jewish, matzah, Israel in it. The Pope is a very strange Pope. Prominent Catholics around the world are largely lauding Pope Francis's remarks, but there are others who are traditionalists who are shocked by Francis. In my opinion, as a non-Catholic, since he has entered the political arena, the Pope, he is now a politician, and therefore he is entitled to his opinion, and so am I. And I will say as a U.S. commentator, the Pope has crossed the boundary or erase the boundary between separation of church and state. And I think that the church should be very cautious right here. Because if the Pope is going to continue to violate the separation of church and state, they're doing themselves a disservice, the world a disservice, religion a disservice, and they risk everything in doing so. The Pope has crossed the line, in my opinion. So I will ask you, has the Pope violated the separation of church and state by saying the things he said? You can't believe the things he said. You have to listen to this. He sounds like Che Guevara to me every day. If Che Guevara were alive, he would sound like the new Pope. I know this is blasphemy to those of you who don't want any criticism, but this is a talk show, and the Pope is now very political. Anyway, that's the phone number, 855-407-282. If you get a comment on these comments, the phone number is again, 855-400-SAVAGE, the last word in talk radio. Two questions. Has Ted Cruz done more harm than good, or more good than harm? Do you think the Pope has violated the separation of church and state? I can ask other questions, but I want to keep it flowing. And now I'll tell you a personal story, because I know many of you tune in just for the personal stories. Some things have happened that are very strange. They're mystical. They're spiritual. During the bombing of Serbia, which I forget the year, does anyone remember the year that Serbia was illegally bombed by Bill Clinton and NATO? Does anyone remember when the war crimes were committed by Madeleine Albright, Bill Clinton? Does anyone remember the year, or any Serbs listening to the show, when Serbia was bombed? When American warplanes were repainted with NATO markings so that the socialist Javier Solana could use our warplanes and our pilots to do what had not been done to the Serbs since World War II when the Nazis bombed Belgrade. And remember, the Serbs were one of America's greatest allies in World War II. When our pilots were shot down over Serbia, it was their men who risked their lives to save our pilots. And you know how they were rewarded by Bill Clinton, international socialist? He bombed the bridges. He bombed the city of Belgrade. And the old men in Serbia looked up when American warplanes were bombing Belgrade and said, they cried. They didn't know why America would do what Hitler had done to them in 1941. I was on this radio show for 60 days or more crying my heart out for the Serbian people, and I am not Serbian, but I knew a war crime when I saw one. I knew Madeleine Albright should be taken to The Hague. I knew that she should have been taken to The Hague with her entire administration for what she was doing. Of course, that doesn't happen. As you well know, at a certain level, those who run the world any way they want, and they're above the law. And there is no Elliot Ness, and there is no Santa Claus, and there is no Santa Claus, and nobody comes to the rescue of the fallen, ever. During that period that the Serbs were being harassed, harried, killed, orphanages were bombed by Clinton. Orphanages were bombed. Churches were bombed. Schools were bombed. Not one picture was ever permitted to be published in any newspaper in the world. That's how locked down this world is. That's right. So I cried for the Serbian people on this show, on these airwaves. A Serbian priest came to the radio station. At that time, I was still on KSFO, and he gave me a medallion, which I have in my hand right now. I'll take it off my neck because I have a story to tell you about this medallion. I'd never seen a medallion like this in my life, and I've showed it to Christian people. They said it's beautiful, but I've never seen anything like it. On one side, there's it's a bronze and cloisonné medallion. It's got a cross on it, and it has letters. It's a red background, blue background, cross in the center, and it's got four letters, CSPB. I don't even know what it means. On top, it says Pax, which means peace. And on the back, it just has a saint on it. I carried it in my pocket as a good luck charm ever since. I never, ever took it out of my pocket. Ever. I wouldn't go anywhere without it. I became like a nut, like a child with a rabbit's foot. And I know people don't believe in good luck charms, and I'm supposed to be a scientist, and I am trained, highly trained, etc., rationalist. I suppose I'm rational a certain percentage of the hours of the day. But I had it as a good luck charm. I never let it out of my pocket. It was always in my right pocket. When I put a roll of money in my pocket, I put this Serbian charm in my pocket. It was just something I loved having. It reminded me of a lot of things. And then what happened was 4 months ago, I lost it. I knew I didn't lose it. I'd misplaced it. I couldn't find it. I went through every shirt. I went through every pair of pants. I went through every jacket, every pocket, every nook and every cranny in my house. I could not find this Serbian medallion. And I knew I didn't lose it. I knew because I couldn't lose a thing like this. But I couldn't find it. For 4 months, I couldn't find it. And I had a pretty rough 4 months. I had a very rough 4 months. I wouldn't say catastrophic, but it was not good. Things were bad, rough. Walking on glass. Swimming on hot coals. Eating chalk. 4 straight months. And then about 2 weeks ago, before the Jewish holidays, I went to San Francisco to an apartment that Jack Hatfield keeps in a certain place. And I looked in Jack's pants. And lo and behold, I went right to the right pair of pants, and there it was. So yesterday I did something odd. I went to Macy's, and I bought a gold chain for the medallion, which I put around my neck. And it's sort of a Tony Soprano medallion on my neck now. And that's the story. And what happened the next morning is most amazing. My luck has changed. It's running in the other direction. The current is running in the exact opposite direction. I woke up this morning to something I had wanted, anticipated, believed would come, and it finally arrived. Now you could say, come on, you stack loaded the dice because you knew this was coming. Well, no one knows what's coming. No one knows what's coming. But then it gets even better. And I can't tell it to you right now because I'm out of time in this segment. Something else happened today that came out of the blue like a miracle, and I will tell it to you the minute I return in the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Come along, be my heart. Love it. Love it. Love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. My dog just looked up when I screamed. I screamed, love it. Play. I love Buddy Holly. When I think of Buddy Holly, I think of America before the Islamists penetrated the government. When I think of Buddy Holly, I think of what would have happened in this country if they were doing to us then what they're doing to us now. When I think of Buddy Holly, I think of, well, Ted Cruz, Michael Savage, Tea Parties, See, it's all connected. It's interesting to me that Bill O'Reilly hates Ted Cruz. CNN hates Ted Cruz. The Republicrats hate Ted Cruz. In other words, they hate America. They don't love America. They love the establishment who wants illegal aliens swarming in your soup. They want a grotesque budget that nobody can afford. They want big government in your face. They want spying in your soup. From soup to nuts, they want your life controlled by them. The Medal or Cross of St. Benedict. For the early Christians, the cross was a favorite symbol and badge of their faith. From the writings of St. Gregory the Great, 540 to 604. Oh, this is good. He had a deep faith in the cross and worked miracles with the sign of the cross. Passed to succeeding generations of Benedictines. I used to like B&B. It was a good drink when I was a kid. Benedictine and brandy was... When I was like 19, I discovered B&B. I don't drink that stuff anymore. It was too sweet. Bore the image of St. Benedict holding a cross. Anyway, so the good luck charm is now around my neck. And the Christian doctrine says you're not allowed to use it as a good luck charm. It's actually almost like a sin. I hope the Pope doesn't. But it's a sin. You're not allowed. Oh, here's it. With this understanding, we reject any use of religious articles as if they were mere charms or had some magic power to bring us good luck or better health. Such is not the Christian attitude. All right, so I'm not wearing it as a Christian symbol. It's just a good luck charm. See what I'm saying? So what do people wear crosses for? What are they wearing a cross for? That's a good luck charm? See, even the secular people who are not church-going wear crosses who are Christians, and they're very popular. They identify as a secular Christian. What's wrong with that? I think that's beautiful. People should identify with their religious beliefs. As my mother once said when I was young, you got to give a child something to believe in. Even if you're, let's say, the most acculturated individual on earth, if you're about to have a child, you got to give a child something to believe in. Because as I wrote many years ago, believing in nothing is believing in something. There's no such thing as believing in nothing. By that definition of I believe in nothing, you believe in something, meaning you believe in nothingness. So nihilism is a belief system. You don't understand that. It takes my mind for you to understand that you nihilists are actually believers. But you don't know how to fill the void. That's why you use drugs. That's why you use loud music. That's why you use sickness. But
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Madam President, I intend to speak in opposition to Obamacare. I intend to speak in support of defunding Obamacare until I am no longer able to stand. To do everything that I can to help Americans stand together and recognize this grand experiment 3.5 years ago is quite simply not working.
I love Ted Cruz. I don't really care if he comes on my show or not. Doesn't matter to me. He's probably being advised by Steve Schmidt behind the scenes. But it's not about me. It's about America. And finally, we have someone willing to stand up to the establishment, to the man. And now look who's attacking him. Look who's attacking Ted Cruz. Fox News host Bill O'Reilly. Well, you'd expect that from the leprechaun. Karl Rove. What more do I need to say? The words themselves are nouns. I mean, are a verb. Karl Rove is a name, but it may as well be a verb. The word rove could become a verb. He roved me. He's roving me. Steve Schmidt, that could become a verb. Schmidt could become a verb. He's schmitting me. Don't schmit on me. And Steve Schmidt advised Senator McCain's 08 presidential campaign. And then the same Steve Schmidt goes to MSNBC to attack Ted Cruz. And then CNN under that little man, that minuscule man, that minor man, the Lilliputian man, the pimple on CNN has the nerve to run a headline that says everyone hates Ted Cruz. You know, whatever you think of the man is a Harvard Law graduate. A real one. I don't think he got in on affirmative action. And like someone that we... Anyway, he's a very distinguished man in his own right. You never hear that from these louts. They're doing to Ted Cruz what they did to me. And because anyone who stands up to the man gets crushed. So I like what he's doing. And take a look who's attacking him. What more do you need to know? You can know a man by his enemies more than by who he is. The next thing we'll wake up and find out is that Ted Cruz is not permitted to go to England to experience English cuisine and the dental work. So let me tell you the rest of the miracles that occurred after I found this medallion, after losing it, the medal, the use of the medal. the Benedict Medal, Saint Benedict, which now is hanging on my neck. I wake up this morning and I get this miraculous email, which I've worked for 20 years, which you'll know about tomorrow night. Go to my website. I'm going to ask this question. What do you think my surprise announcement will be 23 and a half hours from now? 23 and a half hours from now on the Savage Nation, the biggest announcement of my career occurs right here on this show. What do you think it will be? I can't give it away, but I'd like to know what you think it's going to be. Okay, that's number one. Then, in addition to that email, this happens. No, the teeth that have fallen out did not regrow. No, that did not happen. The muscle mass that has diminished over the last 5 years has not returned. Let's see. The hair that has fallen off the top of my head in small parts has not regrown by itself. A young guy I never heard of, guy sends me, he actually didn't send it to me, Rich Lieberman, who's a radio columnist in San Francisco, sends me something from a young guy in L.A. who's a saxophonist, who has been listening to my show since he's a little boy. Now he's been listening to me since he's a man. And the guy is like 26, and he's a saxophonist in L.A. He's a religious devotee of my show. He's compiled, like, the poetry of my show over the last years in small couplets and put it together in an e-book. And at first he was going to put it up on the Internet, and I said, you can't do that. This is all copyrighted material. I looked at this stuff, and I started to shake what he did, typeset, put together, best stuff picked. And he wrote, these are the found poems of American talk show host and writer Dr. Michael Savage, as edited by American artist and musician Sam Gendel. According to Encyclopedia Britannica, a found poem is one consisting of words found in a non-poetic context and usually broken into lines that convey a verse rhythm. The editor has taken measures to preserve the undeniable quality of Dr. Savage's language and claims no rights to the work. He, the editor, has merely acted to frame language as art, offering various topics as explored by Dr. Savage, but through an explicitly poetic lens. The editor hopes that the reader will begin to recognize a common thread weaving through his body of poems, and that he, the reader, will remember that what follows is one man's opinion, an opinion that is sharp, humorous, and most importantly, human. And then he collected all this stuff. I never knew anyone would do a thing like this. I said, Sam, hold off. Take it off the Internet. You can't do it. This is copyrighted stuff. But I think I'm going to put it back out in some form, and I'll read it to you on the air over the next few days in pieces, because some of it's astonishing. I didn't know anyone listened that carefully to me. You know, it's amazing to me. I don't even know what to read you. Here, I'll read one piece he put on page 31. Freudian. All of us are crawling on one arm and one leg. We are all psychic cripples in one way or another. Do you really think you are a whole person because you went to Woodstock and laid in the mud? Yeah, I want to, you know, if I ever do this, I'm going to set it to jazz music. And I'll tell you something else interesting about music. When the profile was written about me for The New Yorker by Kalefa Sena years ago, it was the biggest shock in the literary world, because, what, you wrote that about him? How could you write that about him, the right winger? He has no poetry, he has no art, he has nothing in his soul, he's not a liberal. How can you write about him, Bebop? Turns out that Kalefa Sena of The New Yorker had been a music critic for The New York Times for many years. And he started to listen to my show in New York City years ago, and he heard music. He didn't just hear didactic opinion. He didn't just hear Trotsky now disguising himself as a conservative selling a book on the Constitution inside the head of lettuce and a toupee. No, he didn't do that. He heard the music inside the voice, meaning the voice inside the music. He heard the jack-in-the-box inside the jack-in-the-box, and he heard the saxophone inside Jack's larynx. And he said, this guy's amazing. So he wrote that long profile of Michael Savage, which I cherish. I think it's the finest analysis, really, a capture of me. Better than any photograph ever taken of me is the New Yorker interview, which is still up on michaelsavage.com. So this guy, who just did the poetry of Dr. Michael Savage, is a saxophonist. Now, what does that tell you? Would a musician ever hear music in the voice of others? And I don't want to nail anybody. They do a good job. We need them all. It's a long day part. Someone's got to fill it. It may as well be somebody who can fake it as well as some of them do and have gotten away with G3 as far as they can fly. So there it is. Oh, these poems are good. Can I read you one more, and then I'm going to take a call? You're not going to believe it. Where's the guy who was saved by the nuns? The nuns who was saved by the cop. Michael, stay in there. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get to Michael. He has the same medal I have. You're not going to believe his story. Hold it. Here it is. I got it. This is called Curtain Call, and it's the only one I'm going to read tonight. Now, picture jazz music. You have Coltrane. Neil, could you run Coltrane behind me as I read this? Is that a possibility? We're going to do an actual poem with some music, because I love Coltrane. And we'll just wait till we get the music to do this right. Make believe you're in a cafe, Cafe Savage, and I'm the cafe proprietor. I'm coming out from behind the counter, throwing my apron down. He said, Mike, come on, give us one of your poems, Mike. Now, look, I got to serve the cappuccinos, macchiatos. No, Mike, please, come on out and read to us, would you? So if we can't get the music, I can't do it. I need to have the music right now. One of these nights, I'm going to do this in front of an audience with music. We're going to have jazz music. I'm going to read these things to you. Curtain call. At a certain point, the end is near. You don't know when, but you start feeling that. You feel the red curtain. You say, what's it all about? At the end of the day, it's to try and walk tall and not hurt too many people or yourself. But by all means, don't get on your knees. You're going to meet animals along the way. You're going to meet the worst form of humanity. You're going to meet the lowest vermin on the planet. Some posing as conservatives will cut your heart out for a dime. Some posing as religious will cut your heart out for a dime. The ones who wear it on their sleeve, watch out for them. The bigger the cross, the bigger the dross. I'm in the mood right now where I could filibuster my own show until tomorrow at 6 o'clock on the West Coast. I could stay on the air 24 hours. If someone would bring me food from an Indian buffet tonight at 2 in the morning, and then a breakfast buffet at 9 in the morning, and then another Chinese buffet tomorrow at noon, I could stay on the air for 24 hours. I've never done it. I don't know how that would work. I don't know. Would it energize me? I discovered something. I don't know. Maybe it would work. Maybe I should. Maybe the filibuster is the only way to break through the drug addicts in Congress. Maybe if we all filibustered the country, maybe we could save the nation if we all filibustered these wonderful human beings called politicians who have destroyed us and want to turn us into serfs. If not physical serfs, then psychic serfs, tax serfs. And I don't know about you, I never learned how to surf myself. I don't have a surfboard, do you? Anyone out there have a surfboard? I don't. Now, let's take some calls on the Savage Nation. Michael on WABC is referring to the St. Benedict's Medal that was given to me by the Serbian priest. I wish I could find the Serbian priest. I wish I could find him. I don't know where he is, who he is. I don't know who came to the station. It was before I was a national host. I know that. It was before the year 2000. That I know for sure. So what was it? What was the year Clinton was bombing? 96, 97, 98, when they bombed Serbia to steal Kosovo for the oily tracks that run through Kosovo? I think. So anyway, I don't know where the priest is. Now, I'll tell you another story before I take the call, since I'm into one of these moods that I can't stop. There's no controlling, and here's how it goes. About two Fridays ago, I took off a Friday, and I needed a day off to eat calamari. In fact, the picture is on michaelsavage.com. Of the calamari we ate in San Francisco, which has the best calamari in the world and only one place that I know of. I want to see if the picture's still up. Art's been working overtime. Big radio announcement on show Wednesday night. Even Iran snubs Obama refuses to meet. Where's my calamari picture? There it is. You go to the bottom where you sign up for the free newsletter. Right below it, Michael's favorite food, Monterey calamari. My son flew up to have lunch with me. He's a foodie like I am. And the calamari is from Monterey. All the other calamari you're eating is from China. I won't eat it. I will not eat Asian seafood. I just won't eat it. It's not a racial thing, moron. It's polluted seafood, Schmendrick. You don't eat seafood from Asia. That's the end of the story. You want shrimp, you get it from the Gulf. It's safer than shrimp from China, Vietnam, you know, Bangladesh. If you had any idea where those shrimp come from, you'd become kosher. You'd eat Stella d'Oro kosher pastry rather than the calamari you've been eating. So this picture of Michael's favorite food, Monterey calamari, snaps with a camera, and the steam is coming off the white plate. You could see the little red pepper shaker behind it, the perfect dish. Even the forks, the way they're put into the tray, you see you're not in a white tablecloth restaurant, so you know the food is good. The starchier the tablecloth, the worse the food. The higher the liberal quotient, the lower the derriere. You know that one? The lower the derriere, the LD is inversely proportionate to the LQ. Same thing with this. The whiter the tablecloth, the worse the food, in my opinion and in my experience. This place has no tablecloth. So that Friday, we go into town, and we have the calamari, and he doesn't give it to us fried because I don't like fried food. And I can't even tell you the restaurant. I'd like to, but I won't. Some of you know the city, because if you go in there, I won't be able to get in there. It's a small place. It's not the place I normally mention. No one serves this but this guy, because he gets it from the fisherman. I was in there when the Sicilian fisherman came in. The guy is like 5'3", the fisherman, and about 5 feet wide. And he was sitting next to me at the counter, and we started to talk, blah, blah, blah. And he showed me a picture of his fishing boat. He had such pride in his fishing boat that he showed me the picture of it. Then he showed me the picture of his father and his brother's fishing boat in Sicily. And he said, I bring in 140 pounds of fish every Thursday to this restaurant. And they serve it on Friday, and it's gone Friday night. He has cod, what is it? No, halibut, local halibut. I'm salivating. Baked halibut, and then he has the calamari. He makes me the calamari with a certain sauce. Anyway, I'm just telling you, I went in for that food, and something else happened that day. Something else happened that day on the way to the radio station. An amazing thing happened on the way to the radio station. Remember that old joke, an amazing thing happened to me on the way to the theater tonight? Remember that old joke in entertainment circles? Well, an amazing thing happened to me on the way to the radio station that day. A lot of things have been happening. So since the medallion went around the old nape of the old neck, let's see, the kid did the poems of Savage, had no idea that a young guy would do that, and a musician, number two. It just shows you the listenership of the show. And what is announced tomorrow night, you'll understand why this is all happening. Not only is this the last word in talk radio, let's say, in terms of physicality or appearance on the dial, there are other shows that are quite good. But it's a phrase that came up with the last word in talk radio. But in many ways, I am the last word in talk radio, because you can't beat me. That's it. You can do a good show, but you can't beat the master. You can't beat Mozart. You can be Salieri. It doesn't mean you're not a good Salieri, but you're not Mozart. Now, the more you attack Mozart, the less you are as a talk show host. It's that simple. I was ready for what's about to come when I was born. It's not about a contest with anyone. I want to be very clear about what's about to be announced tomorrow. Whatever I may or may not announce tomorrow night on this show is not about attacking anyone. I want to be very clear. Yeah, I'm a very competitive guy. I have been since I was a breech baby. I've been fighting for air from the day I was born. I came out kicking and screaming. And it was a rough battle. My mother and I, God bless her. But the thing is, that can't be easy on a woman. I mean, that's a hard, you don't know what it is to be a woman. It's terrible. It's the hardest thing on earth. Guys really, see what's happened with the sexual revolution is women have lost respect and men have lost their compassion for women. And that's a real disaster of the feminist movement. Women were once protected by men. Women are no longer protected by men because they become competitors with men. And as a result, everyone lost. The natural order of things has been destroyed by this obsession of the left. But that's a whole separate topic, in my opinion. You know, just one man's opinion. I'm sure it made a lot of friends just now in feminist circles. But the thing is, I was born for what's about to happen in my life. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This one's called Family Vacation. I had to take up painting when the kids were young. It got so bad that I was on the precipice of the hotel balcony. So I went and bought a watercolor set. I still have those pictures. One was a picture of an automobile without wheels and two adults and two children going nowhere with a little island in the middle. Quite an interesting picture when you think about it. All right, my friends, we can only do a certain amount of things on the radio show that could be done better in a nightclub setting, but since this is Cafe Savage, we'll do our best. Let's go to WABC, Michael. Michael, go ahead, please. You have quite a story to tell. Tell it.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I was very touched by your story about the priest giving you the medal, and I had a quick story to go along with it. I work as a law enforcement officer, and I was on an overnight shift, and it was in the morning, and I came across a van that was stuck in the sand, and I got out of my car to contact the person inside the van, and it turned out that the van had nuns inside of it. There were several nuns in there that had got their vehicle stuck. So I gave them a hand. I was able to push it out. We were able to get it back in the parking lot. And the nuns gave me a medal of the Virgin Mary, and they had told me that it was blessed by Mother Teresa. And you've
carried this medallion with you ever since, Michael?
Yes, Dr. Savage. I've taken it overseas with me. I also work as a wildland firefighter as part of my job, and I've taken it.
Unbelievable. You see, I'm not the only one out there who believes in medallions, I guess, or let's say good luck charms. Michael, that's a beautiful story. Let me send you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. It's the only thing I could send you. And let me finish up what happened after the calamari. I went to my apartment, and I found the medallion inside an old pair of pants on the way to a religious service after I'd given a nun in the street $100. A nun walking in the street of North Beach. I said, sister, can I make a donation?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
They're both left-handed. They both love golf, a game that does not often reciprocate the love they put into it. They both are fanatic sports fans and go to great lengths to be in front of the TV or on the side of the court or the field. They both are master politicians. Each of them has only lost one election. They are both Democrats. They have fabulous daughters. They each married far above themselves.
Yes.
And they each love our country.
Oh.
And so please join me in welcoming number 42 and number 44, Bill Clinton and President Barack Obama.
Americans are suffering because of Obamacare. Obamacare isn't working. And yet, fundamentally, there are politicians in this body who are not listening to the people. They're not listening to the concerns of their constituents. They're not listening to the jobs lost, to the people forced into part-time work, to the people losing their health insurance, to the people who are struggling. A great many Texans, a great many Americans feel that they don't have a voice. And so I hope to play some very small part in helping provide that voice for them.
And yet the vermin in the media are running headlines such as, "Everyone hates Ted Cruz." Well, let me tell you something, Wolf Blitzer. I don't hate Ted Cruz. It's you I hate. And let me tell you something else, O'Reilly and Stephen Schmidt and Karl Rove. I don't hate Ted Cruz. Most Americans hate you. This is the Savage Nation. Welcome back to hour number two. The antidote to apathy. The antidote to apathy. If you just joined the show, I'm sorry to tell you, you missed an amazing hour. We've gone everywhere from Monterey Calamari to the Cross of St. Benedict, to medallions, to dogs, to poetry, to nuns, to religious services, to medals, to police, to you, to me, and here we are again. And the phone number is 855-400-SAVAGE. Could you play a little bit more of that music? It does my soul good to listen to Coltrane. Phil, let's hear a little Coltrane again. Just take the old knob. Changes the pace a little bit. This is called "Where Are They Now?" You have to bomb for peace. You have to kill for peace. Joan Baez, Bob Dylan, the hippies of the 60s. Where are they now? Burning man in a wheelchair? Did they wheel themselves out into the desert to have one more rolling fling? Where are they now? Why are they not screaming from a rooftop? How many times? Why are they not singing that tonight? Leading the way, marching. Were they really ever anti-war? See, that's something that you have to understand, and those who know will always know, and those who don't will never. It's that simple. Those who know will always know, and those who don't will never. I wrote that when I was 14. I didn't even know what I was writing, or did I? And that's why I like calamari from Monterey in a certain North Beach restaurant that you never heard of, which I won't tell you about. that's because I said to the owner, I said, I can't. He says, Mike, why can't you? He says, I got a picture of my calamari on your website. Why can't you put down another name? I said, because if I do, then I come in here, I can't even get a seat on a Friday. So it's a conundrum. I like to help my friends, but I'm not going to, you know, that's the end of it. So I go to have the calamari. That's when I found the medallion. After the calamari, I went across the street to Biordi Art Objects and bought some pottery that I had looked at for 30 years and never bought. I just wanted to buy a certain art, and I did. It was an interesting thing. And a nun was going by as I came out with this big pot in my hand from Italy, and she was in white going by. I never see nuns anymore. When I grew up in New York, there were nuns everywhere. There was a certain, you know, like I like rabbis in black and hats. I like nuns in white and all that. When I went to Jerusalem, I loved seeing the fervor in the eye of the priest and the religious Jew. How do you do? I like intense people. I like the costumes that go with it. At least I know where I'm at what time in history. So when I saw a nun in a black habit gliding down Columbus Avenue, I said, sister, sister, can I make a donation to your church? And she turned and she said, well, we need some money for whatever she was doing. Whereupon I took $100 out of my pocket and gave it to her, and I said, thank you, God bless you, sister. And it was soon thereafter, I swear to God, that I found the medal, the St. Benedict medal. So you say, well, it's not connected, it's random, and what's the big deal anyway? Hey, look, my friend, if you want to be that nihilistic and believe in nothing, I pity you. You know, cynicism has its limits, let me tell you that. And the next time you realize that you really are empty inside, you'll realize that your cynicism, at the end of the day, is not helping you at all. It's probably killing you. It's not a reflection of your wisdom or your smartness. Sarcasm, believe me, I can do. Satire, believe me, how do you do? But let me tell you, there's a limit to it all, my friends. Cynicism has its limits. So that's the story tonight in the Savage Nation. That's just an amazing night. It's pregnant with possibility because there's a rule in radio. Here's how it works. If the host is interested in the subject, so will the listener be. If the host is just faking it, so they will not be. And so we can do politics. I can guarantee you I can do them as well as anybody. And to me, the Ted Cruz filibuster is a great story. The Pope stepping over the line, crossing out from the church into the state, and expecting me to not comment on it, I think is a ridiculous thing, by the way. How do you feel about the Pope? Suddenly, you hear what the Pope said? Let me read it to you exactly so I'm not misquoted again by the Catholic League, who I supported for 15 years, and they attacked me because I dared say that them stepping into the illegal alien thing and saying that we should have illegal aliens in America was a foul blow. And suddenly they ripped me apart as being anti-Catholic. Pope defends immigrants' rights, denounces slave labor. Every day I wake up, it's like Che Guevara now in Rome. Pope Francis urged countries today to welcome and respect migrants and refugees and not treat them as pawns on the chessboard of humanity. That's all well and good, Mr. Pope, but let me tell you something. Tell me about all the refugees in Milwaukee, some of whose children have gone to back to the Middle East to kill people. Tell me all about the fraudulent migrants and refugees who come here and suck my country dry, Mr. Pope. Who do you think pays for them? The church doesn't. I don't see the Catholic Church paying for the hearts and flowers of the migrants who come here and take what they can get and give nothing back. So it's nice to say that they're all coming here to work and they're all wonderful and hardworking, but we all know they're not when 51% of Americans don't contribute a nickel to the pot and take everything they can get, Mr. Pope. And he writes, they are children and women and men who leave or who are forced to leave their homes for various reasons, who share a legitimate desire for knowing and having, but above all for being more. They're not all working as slave labor, my friend. Of course we're against trafficking and exploitation. We all are. But please, give me a break. That is rubbish to tell us that every migrant is sacred and has rights above that of me, a natural-born American. Many of them are leeches. They come here to leech off us and to destroy our country. And they hate us so much, they go back to their home country as Islamists. Don't tell me they all come here to work hard. No, sir. France's far-right National Front, which is an anti-immigrant policy, has been buoyed by improving poll numbers. No kidding. Gee, I wonder why. Why call them far-right? Reuters. Well, Reuters, the children of... Reuters is basically peopled by extremely self-hating white liberals whose grandfathers no doubt worked as Nazis. And then the grandchild becomes a far leftist. That's how that's been working for quite a while. Not everyone who's objecting to the immigrant hordes is a far-right member, my friends. And if they are, God bless them. A change of attitude towards migrants and refugees is a pardonable, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, all right. See, now the Pope is stepping out of the pulpit, and suddenly he's becoming a politician. That'd be the same as if, here, I'll give you an as if. That'd be the same as if, let's say, a president got up and started reading prayers in defense of his, political philosophy. You wouldn't find that, you'd find that offensive. The left would go crazy, right? The left who breaks crosses off war memorials, the left who blows up every granite monument that contains the Ten Commandments, has told us that we have to have a separation of church and state. Have they not? So now we have a pope violating church and state in the opinion of one man. I don't do this to offend Catholics. I happen to think the Catholic religion is a beautiful religion. A beautiful religion. I love watching the rituals of the Catholic religion at night on television sometimes. It's a beautiful religion. But I really don't accept the fact that the Pope has the right to suddenly become Che Guevara because he's in Rome, you know what I mean? It's very dangerous. And I'm not alone on this. I looked into this. Pope Francis denounces abortion after decrying church's focus on rules. The other day, you know, he was very liberal in everything he said. And then all of a sudden he backtracked. Catholic apprehension abounds over Pope interview from Edward Pentine of Newsmax. And it says, prominent Catholics around the world have mostly lauded Pope Francis's landmark interview with the Jesuit publication La Civiltà Cattolica, but some remain perplexed, upset by his remarks. So many of the commentators, of course, support the Pope. That's okay. And they give him a pass. But others don't. Others don't, really. They don't. Some of them don't find it very comforting. One prominent Catholic in Rome told Newsmax, "We all knew he was a liberal, but I had no idea he was so partisan. He believes that Francis is the apotheosis of everything that was wrong about the Second Vatican Council." You'll have to read into it. "What priests are telling me," he writes, "is that they are very disturbed and wish the Pope would stop talking." A source with close connections to three cardinals told Newsmax, adding that some others are perplexed. They argued that even prior to the interview, abortion, contraception, and same-sex marriage were hardly ever mentioned in homilies. "I have never talked to a single priest who was cheering the interview, but they will never allow themselves to be quoted on the record, but they're out there all over the U.S. To deny that this interview by the Pope has wounded the flock is to dissemble," he said. "I think the Holy Father should consider issuing clarifications." Vatican officials have been reluctant to comment on the interview, including American Cardinal Raymond Burke. Well, so this is not so cut and dried. I'm sure that the Clintons and Media Matters and George Soros and Obama would welcome the Pope's remarks. I'm convinced of it. I'm sure that MSNBC would consider giving him a gig. But, hey, this is coming out of nowhere. Now, if you want to go into this, we can go into this. I'm willing to discuss it. Do you think that the Pope has violated the separation of church and state? Am I wrong for challenging these statements? I don't think I am. I don't think I am. I want my Pope, even though I'm not Catholic, to be a traditionalist. Otherwise, religion has no meaning whatsoever. I'm not a Bagel and Lox Jew. Let me put it to you that way. I stopped going to the temple a long time ago when they did the Bagel and Lox job. I didn't go there to eat and sponge cake. I didn't go there to hear about liberation theology in a synagogue, and I'm sure many Catholics have stopped going to church because they wanted to go to hear fire and brimstone. They wanted the priests to roar in the pulpit. They wanted them to bring heaven itself down into that church, and they weren't getting what they went for. And so they stopped going, but they didn't stop wearing the cross, nor did they stop believing in God. But the day that the fire and brimstone left our churches and left our synagogues, gods, is the day people stopped going. That's when the pews emptied out. And that's when the synagogues became a shadow of their former selves. They didn't go there for that. They didn't go to hear Woody Allen with a yarmulke. They were tired of the jokes on Friday night. They didn't need George Burns and Gracie Allen eating some lox with the flock after the show was over. They wanted some hellfire, and they wanted brimstone, and they wanted some hope, and they wanted some cheer if they did the right thing. They didn't go there to eat bagels and lox, my friends. They didn't go there to hear Goldilocks. And so that's what they got right now in so many places, and they're very upset by it. And that's what's going on now in all of the Western religions. Now, enter from stage right, or shall I say stage left, or shall I say enter from beneath the stage, radical Islam, because that's what's filling the void for all of the people who want fire and brimstone and are not getting it. And they're giving us fire and brimstone once they do the conversion. They're giving us fire and brimstone. Just look at Kenya. Look who orchestrated it. A white widow, a girl from an English town, who married a Muslim, converted, and was orchestrating the murder of non-Muslims in Kenya. Did it make it to your local paper? I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Someone's playing with this piece for me. When I was a young one, I used to go to the, I forget the name of the nightclub in Manhattan. I loved this music, Cuban music. Which piece is this? Hey, don't tell me. I know. I'm supposed to know. Is this Cachao? Yes, no, or Guajira? It's Fajardo? It's Fajardo Te Pone Acusar. Acusar! He was my favorite flautist in the history of the world. He played a wooden flute, a black wooden flute. I loved this man's music so much. I was so captivated by it. I'd hang out by the bandstand and I'd watch him. It was magical to me that anyone could make this happen. And so I took up the flute. And I wore a black turtleneck, black pants, Beatles hair. Took it down into the little basement in Queens. And one day my father came home from the market, gray from the grime, blue collar, gray face, and he says, he thought I had gone crazy. Here was his number one son, man-child in the promised land, who had gone nuts trying to play a flute in the basement of Queens. That was the end of it. I mean, he so ripped me apart. He destroyed my desire to ever pick up an instrument again. You say, oh, bad man. I don't know. Maybe he did me a favor. Maybe he did me a favor. It would have led me astray. Could have made me a happy, you know, a happy drug addict and musician. I tell you this, had I continued, let's add a liberal father. Oh, honey, look. Look, Michael's playing the flute. Maybe he should drop out of high school. Son, why don't you drop out of college and just follow what's fun? Why don't you follow what's fun? We'll give up everything just for your musical career, son. You know where I'd be today? Dead 40 years.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Let me tell you something, Johnson. I can dance on, too. I don't need anyone to lecture me about Latin people and Latin music. Let me ask you something. You think Obama could dance on, too? How'd you like to see Bill Clinton trying to dance the mambo? I love, they all love Latinos. They don't speak a word of Spanish. They can't dance on three, let alone two. And they're telling me that I'm the racist. How we've gone from Celia Cruz to Ted Cruz in one generation. That's an in-joke. I mean, you got to understand that I listened to Celia Cruz when I was 17 years old. I didn't know that she was Latino or Schmatino. All I know is she was had a voice that cut through your DNA. So I got to tell you something about this. The music is so powerful and music is so strong that it takes a musician to understand what I'm doing. And many of you are musicians, or shall I say many of you love music sufficient to understand the music in my voice. And that's why I love talk radio, because this actually, at the end of the day, is a performance. And now that we've covered that, let's go back to normal programming on the Savage Nation. Has Ted Cruz done more harm than good, or more good than harm? You know my opinion. He's actually a hero of millions and millions of Americans today for conducting a true filibuster, trying to stop the steamrolling of the average American. And yet CNN had the audacity to say everyone hates Ted Cruz. I guess they don't know about the 30 to 40 million who love Ted Cruz. That's A. We're also talking about the Pope, who I believe has shocked Catholics around the world by becoming a politician, and a liberal politician at that, and we're talking about that as well on the Savage Nation. And I suppose we could also talk about the power of music, the medallion I found after the calamari on the way to a religious service after I gave a nun $100 here on the Savage Nation, but I think I've already done that. One of these days when I get in the mood, and it's not the mood today, I'll tell you about Palma de Mallorca 1966 in Shotzi's Bar. But for those of you who've read Michael Savage's Train Tracks, the the piece called An American Gangster in Spain is really an amazing story from the distant past of my life. And it goes back to me playing the flute in some ways. It was the impressionable time in my life when I could have gone in any way. Well, as Henry Miller wrote, each morning when I wake up, my feet take me in 1,000 directions. I mean, that was true for me then. It isn't true for me anymore. Right now, my feet take me in only one direction, which is from the bed to the computer screen to open up my emails, and from the computer screen to the coffee pot to start the process, and from the coffee pot to you-know-where, which I can't mention on a family show, and then back to open the door for Teddy so he could do it, I just couldn't mention, and then back to the computer. Life is a kick when you stay on it. When you follow the straight and narrow, I tell you the truth, it's the greatest high there is. You don't have to understand how hard it is to follow the straight and narrow. It's the most difficult thing in the world is to stay on the straight and narrow when you have a mind that takes you in 1,000 directions every minute. One day you'll learn how to take the 21 horses inside your brain that are leading you in all sorts of directions and bridle them all and hitch them to your wagon and lead you down that straight and narrow. It's a golden place to go, I got to tell you. What do you think, Shakespeare had one horse and one cart? Where do you think Shakespeare got all of his characters from? That's when I started to realize what sanity is. Sanity is not to fear all of those voices. Sanity is not to fear all those horses. Sanity is to bridle all those horses and hitch them to one wagon. And then you lead those horses. You don't let them pull you in every direction. And that's why you shouldn't use marijuana. I got to go back to that. Marijuana was the most destructive element in my life. Now, I got to tell you why I say it. Because people are being brainwashed now into becoming drug addicts with all of the propaganda like I've never seen in my life. Everywhere you go, they're whispering about the wonders of marijuana. Marijuana is the most dangerous of all drugs. Having said that, maybe there are some medical conditions where one of the active principles or the other, Marinol or others, could be used to alleviate pain. Good, get the medication. But most people are just using it to get high. And the reason society is pushing you into getting high is to make certain that you don't know what the politicians are doing to you, and to keep you off balance, keep you drugged up the way the Chinese were doped on opium, you're being doped on marijuana. Marijuana may be a sedative for people who have been blessed with, or shall I say cursed with, a one-string mind. If you were given a one-string banjo for a brain, then when you smoke marijuana, you say, oh, wow, look at that, now I can play with two strings. But for people who have been given a violin for a brain, marijuana screws up your ability to play anything. And that's all I want to say on the subject. I'm not going to take any doper's calls, because many of you are so hooked on your drug, you don't even understand that you're talking from the point of view of a doper who is basically a drug addict. And I really don't want to hear any more about it. All I can tell you is that when you kick marijuana and you've been off it for a couple of years, you'll realize how addicted you really were. And you won't know it until you're off it to know how addicted you really were. If you think you're not addicted, then try to kick it. If you think that you're not addicted to marijuana, then you try to kick it and see how long you last. Now let's go to the callers on regular programming on the Savage Nation. But before I do, a segue, a little segue, Phil, with a little more music. Let's play Ka-Chow. No, I want to hear Ka-Chow, Akazar. Akazar con mi comboa. Akazar con mi comboa, which means Akazar. Huzzah! Master musicians all. Oh, my favorite was Orquesta Aragón. We got to do one Orquesta Aragón to understand. Then I'll come back to the political. Let's play Aragón. Caserita Villarina. Caserita Villarina. Echo and Jamaico. No, it's Echo and Cuba. Come on, man. Just hit the button already. This music was so amazingly captivating. Okay, you get the picture. See, when you grow up in a monodimensional world, the straight and narrow, the green-carpeted world of bourgeois security, what you want to do is break out of it. That's what you want to do, and then you spend the rest of your life trying to get back to it. That's just the nature of life, is that kids who grow up in a very stable, beautiful, middle-class life generally want to break out of it. They find it apathetic, and they find it stifling, and naturally they want to go, you know, and break out of it. They want to be cool, and they do, and they have to. And then eventually they recreate what they left behind, and they find that it's impossible to recreate your mother's kitchen. You can't do it. In fact, so much so that I dreamed I was back in my mother's little house in Queens last night. Would you believe it? At her little dinner table? Hard to believe. Haven't thought about it in a long, long time. Don't know why. But have another announcement to make for you, not to do with radio, which is, and I'm almost reluctant to say it. I hinted at it before. But I'm very, very close, I think, to becoming a grandpa, first one. And the first of anything is the most miraculous thing on earth, whether it be first love, first death, or first birth. And I got to tell you, being close, this close to this is going to trump all of those things put together. So let's all pray for that one. It's that simple. Maybe you want to play Hava Nagila Hava. We have that one. That might be a fun one to play before. I don't want to get too maudlin now, because I almost accidentally slipped into maudlinism. It is up there. No classical music. I don't like. Take it off. No. I'm not into, like, I don't know why. It's like, sounds like Bagel and Lox to me. When I hear Hava Nagila, I think of the places I ran away from, not the places I run to. When I go to a religious service, I want the heavy duty. I want the heavy duty. I want the tequila of services. I don't want the light beer of services. Does that make sense to you? Did that make sense to you? In other words, I want a slammer when I go into a religious service. So I don't want the light beer with sponge cake in the Jewish side. I want the crazies, the ultra-Orthodox people who live on the 333 commandments every second of the day and live with God in their hearts and hands all the time. I myself can't live that way because I'm not, just not my thing. If I go into a church, I want it to be the heavy duty incense, Eastern Orthodox, Russian Orthodox. I want to see the incense swaying. I want to see the crosses swaying. I want to see the kapox. I want to see the whole deal. If I want to go into a Buddhist thing, I don't want to go to a Mill Valley Buddhist modified McDonald's of the Buddhism. I want to go into the heavy duty chants with the getting ahead of myself, I'm getting too excited. The sonorous rhythms of a Buddhist temple are not to be forgotten readily. That's all. It's that simple. So I want a slammer when I go into a religious edifice. I don't want the light version. In fact, I had Indian food a few weeks ago in San Francisco. I went into the best Indian food in the Bay Area is a place called Gaylord's, pardon the name. But Gaylord's in San Francisco, my friend Sushil owns. And I go in there rarely, but I went in on a Saturday night instead of going to North Beach for Italian. I couldn't handle one more, you know, pasta with the suits. I couldn't deal with it. So I went into the Indian place on an off night. I knew nobody would be there because the movie theater's closed and there's nobody there. So he knows I happen to like a certain kind of, you know, spice, whatever. And I said to him, where is the nearest Hindu temple? I was kind of searching now, like into a whole new searcheroo. I know who I am. I haven't left who I am, but I'm very interested in every other path to God, to be frank with you, because I think they're all valid in their own way. And they all say the same thing when they're rational. The only ones who are slightly off are the ones who, in the name of Allah, cut a pregnant woman's baby out of her womb and throw it down a well. You know, like the folks in Kenya, some of whom came from Milwaukee or your town, my town, his town, all around America, because we're such a tolerant nation. We welcome asylees from everywhere because they're all equal, and they all come here to work the system and rip us off, my friend. And then they hate the country for being so idiotic as to give them money for nothing. I love they were talking about the Somalis in Milwaukee who went over there and became murderers. Oh, why did they go? And the spokesmouth for the Somalis said, well, they come here and they find it hard to adjust to. You know, they work so hard and they're in such poor jobs. Really, I thought. Like, my grandfather didn't get a heart attack at 47. And my father didn't get a heart attack at 57 because they didn't quite fit in to the Christian world of America, but they didn't complain about it, and they never put it down, and they never went to a country club or a nightclub. They just worked till they died to make a better place for themselves and their family. They didn't bellyache about America. Not once did I hear anyone put America down. Not once in my entire life in my family. That's the American way, is you come here, Mr. Somali, and you work your behind off. And you hope to God your son does better than you. Because nobody owes you anything. And if you don't like it, go back where the hell you came from. That's what everybody wants to say to these people. I'm sick and tired of the apologists. They come here and they work so hard. And they wind up in the back of a police car. Well, let me tell you something. I'm an immigrant son and I never wound up in the back of a police car. Never! Never did I wind up in the back of a police car. And it's not because I'm white. It's because I'm bright. And I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, anyway, it's for an aficionado. She's a great singer, Celia Cruz, and here's the thing to know about her. All of the Cuban music that I grew up with is pre-Castro Cuba. It was filled with an energy, a joy, and a liberation that died when the bearded one took over Cuba and turned it into a death camp and a prison camp. The people under communism have never recovered from Fidel Castro, no matter what CNN and the liars will tell you. The music died, the people died, they live in slavery. And that's what's happening to America's inventiveness, innovations, liberation. It's dead under Obama. It's been crushed under Obama. All creativity is muted. It's like the ex-Soviet Union. Everyone's afraid to really create. They're to look over their shoulder. Will I be approved? Will I get a grant? Will I be fired? If I say this, if I perform that, if I do this, if I do that, you are moving into serfdom. And let me tell you something. I don't know how to surf. I never learned how to surf. I am an immigrant son. We weren't given surfboards, especially those of us whose fathers came from Russia. We were told never to learn how to surf. You have to spell to understand what I just said to you. Now let's go back to regular programming on the Savage Nation. I can give you the number, but there's no point. We're almost out of time. We're just slammed out of the caller board. It's so full. It's amazing. I'm excited. Yes, I don't think I'll be able to sleep tonight because tomorrow is Christmas, Hanukkah, and New Year's all rolled into one for me. Jake on WABC, you've been holding a long time. Thanks very much. What's on your mind? Jake. He's gone. Okay, he's a priest that said he agrees with me on the Pope. Tom on WABC, you're on the Savage Nation. Tom, what's on your mind?
Hello, Dr. Savage. I'm a first-time caller.
Tom, you could call me Father Savage. It's okay.
No. Dr. Savage. I'm a traditional Roman Catholic, and we believe in everything the Church believed up to, Vatican II. Vatican II changed the Catholic Church in a way that none of us can comprehend, so that everything that followed Pope Pius XII has been so different. It's really shocking.
And so where did Pope Francis come from that he is now so liberal into such liberation theology that he is shocking the entire Catholic religion across the world?
One of the books I just recently read, which I think the Eyes of God, they were talking about Pope John the First, John Paul the First, that he was murdered in 33 days because of some of the things. But he was part of this whole thing that went on since Vatican II. Pope Saint.
All right, but the point is this, Tom. Let's make it simple for the average listener. The Pope has come out as very, very liberal and become very political. Do you agree or disagree with his opinions? I assume by what you're saying, you are offended by the Pope's opinions. Am I wrong or right?
No, absolutely offended. Terribly.
Okay, let's leave it at that, because otherwise I'm not trying to be rude, but we would be on the air for hours on this issue. The interview that Pope Francis has given to this newspaper, frankly, has sent shockwaves through the church, and people are talking about it. It was in a paper called Civiltà Cattolica, and people are shocked by what the Pope is saying, and they don't know where he's coming from. It sounds like a political statement by a doctrinaire leftist, and people are shocked by it. Now, not the establishment Catholics, of course, who will say I have no right to even comment on it, but they're wrong, because once a religious figure becomes political, then I, as a political commentator, believe I have a right, and not only a right, an obligation to say, wait a minute, what's up here? What's up? What's up here? We're not eating, green onions. We're not eating green onions here. Now, Obamacare is on all night. Ted Cruz is still up there. By the way, this is a big story. He is up there. He is filibustering. And Harry Reid says it's not a real filibuster. That's like that lout on CNN saying everyone hates Ted Cruz. We love Ted Cruz. We love that someone's going to stand up to the Republicrats, the Republican Party, Karl Rove, a pox upon all of them. Karl Rove, are you kidding me? Karl Rove, Bill O'Reilly, they're Republicans? They're conservatives? Yeah, they're Republicans, not conservatives. So if you want Democrat light, then you got the Republican Party. But if you want America right, then you got the Tea Party. Get that right, because I just said something you shouldn't forget. By the morning, it'll be on the Limbaugh show and everyone else. That's okay. I don't care. Like Lao Tzu said, it doesn't matter if you get credit for what you say. It matters only that what you say is heard by others and spoken by others. Really, that's at the end of the day all that matters. No one is forever. No one is forever. But ideas live for a long time. The person, forget about it. This is good stuff. This is very good stuff, Ted Cruz. And he's on the Senate floor up all night with Obamacare fight at the top of Drudge. Yeah, and there's Hillary. There she is, introducing Bill Clinton and Barack Obama during the Clinton Global Initiative at the General Assembly like there was no yesterday. Like no one knows the Clintons. New face, new smile, fresh as a daisy. Nobody knows who they are, where they came from. I ran all the way home by the Impalas. Play it up. Play it loud. I used to love this song.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Here we are, hour number three of the Savage Nation, Tuesday, September 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2013. Atheists are invited. The fact of the matter is, today has to be one of the greatest sound days in the history of talk radio. I actually have never seen anything like it. We had three producers on three screens all day long. It was hard to keep up with this. You had Ted Cruz filibustering against Obamacare, claiming he will stay there until I am no longer able to stand. It's time to make D.C. listen. You know, bravo Ted Cruz, and I couldn't believe the things I was reading against Ted Cruz. Harry Reid says it isn't the real filibuster. CNN runs a headline that says everybody hates Ted Cruz. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. At the same time, the so-called president of Iran gets up. After refusing to meet Obama, the media says Obama and the president of Iran will not meet without saying that Obama asked to meet with him and he rejected it. No, Obama didn't reject the meeting. Even the president of a headscarf dictatorship, wouldn't meet with this president. That's the kind of low esteem he's held in. I couldn't believe it. At the same time, Hillary Clinton is introducing Barack Obama and Bill Clinton at the Clinton Global Initiative. I couldn't believe what I was watching at the United Nations talking about Obamacare. And it was run nonstop on CNN, like an infomercial. This is what's going on, and there's more, much more on the Savage Nation that we're going to get to as the show goes on. Here are some of the other stories that I've been following that you can find on michaelsavage.com. Pope defends immigrants' rights and denounces slave labor. I'm sorry. The Pope has crossed the line. He's broken the separation of church and state. He should be silent on political issues. He's not a politician. And if he is, then he's not a pope. Then his tax-free status should be revoked. Is this guy out of bounds here? Number two, it's crazy not to talk of mental illness after all these mass shootings. No kidding. Number of Americans who say government has too much power hits record high, according to Reuters. Iran's new president, in first UN appearance, preaches tolerance, says his country is no threat. Well, Hitler said he only needed Lebensraum, which was living room. Yeah, we know where that led to, from the living room to the death camps. And finally, Obama channels Bush in powerful defensive interventionism to the United Nations. Sounding more and more like George Bush, is he? And there's more, much more, right here. In fact, I'm going to ask you all to go to michaelsavage.com right now and see my announcement on the top left. It's the biggest announcement on the page with a gorgeous picture of the Golden Gate Bridge, and I want you to look at it. And then I want you to Twitter it and Facebook it to all of your friends. And then there's another one, a very controversial one, but I'm going to do it. The strange pope. Catholics just jumped. They're as sensitive to this as Jews are to anything that says Jew, Jewish, matzah, Israel in it. The pope is a very strange pope. Prominent Catholics around the world are largely lauding Pope Francis's remarks, but there are others who are traditionalists who are shocked by Francis. In my opinion, as a non-Catholic, since he has entered the political arena, the Pope, he is now a politician, and therefore he is entitled to his opinion, and so am I. And I will say as a U.S. commentator, the Pope has crossed the boundary or erased the boundary between separation of church and state, and I think that the church should be very cautious right here. Because if the Pope is going to continue to violate the separation of church and state, they're doing themselves a disservice, the world a disservice, religion a disservice, and they risk everything in doing so. The Pope has crossed the line, in my opinion. So I will ask you, has the Pope violated the separation of church and state by saying the things he said? You can't believe the things he said. You have to listen to this. He sounds like Che Guevara to me every day. If Che Guevara were alive, he would sound like the new Pope. I know this is blasphemy to those of you who don't want any criticism, but this is a talk show, and the Pope is now very political. If you get a comment on these comments, the phone number is again 855-400-SAVAGE, the last word in talk radio. Two questions. Has Ted Cruz done more harm than good, or more good than harm? Do you think the Pope has violated the separation of church and state? I can ask other questions, but I want to keep it flowing. Ted Cruz, Michael Savage, Tea Parties. See, it's all connected. It's interesting to me that Bill O'Reilly hates Ted Cruz. CNN hates Ted Cruz. The Republicrats hate Ted Cruz. In other words, they hate America. They don't love America. They love the establishment who wants illegal aliens swarming in your soup. They want a grotesque budget that nobody can afford. They want big government in your face. They want spying in your soup. From soup to nuts, they want your life controlled by them. During the bombing of Serbia, when American warplanes were repainted with NATO markings so that the socialist Javier Solana could use our warplanes and our pilots to do what had not been done to the Serbs since World War II when the Nazis bombed Belgrade. And remember, the Serbs were one of America's greatest allies in World War II. When our pilots were shot down over Serbia, it was their men who risked their lives to save our pilots. And you know how they were rewarded by Bill Clinton, international socialist? He bombed the bridges, he bombed the city of Belgrade, and the old men in Serbia looked up when American warplanes were bombing Belgrade and said, they cried. They didn't know why America would do what Hitler had done to them in 1941. I was on this radio show for 60 days or more, crying my heart out for the Serbian people, and I am not Serbian, but I knew a war crime when I saw one. So I cried for the Serbian people on this show, on these airwaves. A Serbian priest came to the radio station. At that time, I was still on KSFO, and he gave me a medallion, which I have in my hand right now. I'll take it off my neck because I have a story to tell you about this medallion. I'd never seen a medallion like this in my life, and I've showed it to Christian people. They said it's beautiful, but I've never seen anything like it. On one side, there's it's a bronze and cloisonné medallion. It's got a cross on it, and it has letters. It's a red background, blue background, cross in the center, and it's got four letters, CSPB. I don't even know what it means. On top it says Pax, which means peace. And on the back it just has a saint on it. The Medal or Cross of Saint Benedict. For the early Christians, the cross was a favorite symbol and badge of their faith. From the writings of St. Gregory the Great, 540 to 604. Oh, this is good. He had a deep faith in the cross and worked miracles with the sign of the cross. Passed to succeeding generations of Benedictines. I used to like B&B. It was a good drink when I was a kid. Benedictine and brandy was. When I was like 19, I discovered B&B. I don't drink that stuff anymore. It was too sweet. Bore the image of St. Benedict holding a cross. Anyway, so the good luck charm is now around my neck. And the Christian doctrine says you're not allowed to use it as a good luck charm. It's actually almost like a sin. But with this understanding, we reject any use of religious articles as if they were mere charms or had some magic power to bring us good luck or better health. Such is not the Christian attitude. All right, so I'm not wearing it as a Christian symbol. It's just a good luck charm. See what I'm saying? So what do people wear crosses for? What are they wearing a cross for? That's a good luck charm? See, even secular people who are not church-going wear crosses who are Christians, and they're very popular. They identify as a secular Christian. What's wrong with that? I think that's beautiful. People should identify with their religious beliefs. As my mother once said when I was young, you got to give a child something to believe in. Even if you're, let's say, the most acculturated individual on earth, if you're about to have a child, you got to give a child something to believe in. Because as I wrote many years ago, believing in nothing is believing in something. There's no such thing as believing in nothing. By that definition of I believe in nothing, you believe in something, meaning you believe in nothingness. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
Madam President, I intend to speak in opposition to Obamacare. I intend to speak in support of defunding Obamacare until I am no longer able to stand. To do everything that I can to help Americans stand together and recognize this grand experiment 3.5 years ago is quite simply not working.
I love Ted Cruz. I don't really care if he comes on my show or not. Doesn't matter to me. He's probably being advised by Steve Schmidt behind the scenes. But it's not about me. It's about America. And finally, we have someone willing to stand up to the establishment, to the man. And now look who's attacking him. Look who's attacking Ted Cruz. Fox News host Bill O'Reilly, well, you'd expect that from the leprechaun. Karl Rove, what more do I need to say? The words themselves are a verb. Karl Rove is a name, but it may as well be a verb. The word rove could become a verb. He roved me. He's roving me. Steve Schmidt, that could become a verb. Schmidt could become a verb. He's schmitting me. Don't schmit on me. And Steve Schmidt advised Senator McCain's 08 presidential campaign. And then the same Steve Schmidt goes to MSNBC to attack Ted Cruz. And then CNN under that little man, that minuscule man, that minor man, the Lilliputian man, the pimple on CNN has the nerve to run a headline that says everyone hates Ted Cruz. You know, whatever you think of the man is a Harvard Law graduate, a real one. I don't think he got in on affirmative action. And like someone that we, anyway, he's a very distinguished man in his own right. You never hear that from these louts. They're doing to Ted Cruz what they did to me, because anyone who stands up to the man gets crushed. So I like what he's doing. And take a look who's attacking him. What more do you need to know? You can know a man by his enemies more than by who he is. The next thing we'll wake up and find out is that Ted Cruz is not permitted to go to England to experience English cuisine and the dental work. So let me tell you the rest of the miracles that occurred after I found this medallion. After losing it, the Benedict Medal, Saint Benedict, which now is hanging on my neck. I wake up this morning and I get this miraculous email, which I've worked for 20 years, which you'll know about tomorrow night. Go to my website. I'm going to ask this question. What do you think my surprise announcement will be on the Savage Nation? The biggest announcement of my career occurs right here on this show. What do you think it will be? I can't give it away, but I'd like to know what you think it's going to be. Then, in addition to that email, this happens. No, the teeth that have fallen out did not regrow. No, that did not happen. The muscle mass that has diminished over the last 5 years has not returned. Let's see. The hair that has fallen off the top of my head in small parts has not regrown by itself. Rich Lieberman, who's a radio columnist in San Francisco, sends me something from a young guy in L.A., who's a saxophonist, who has been listening to my show since he's a little boy. Now he's been listening to me since he's a man. And the guy is like 26, and he's a saxophonist in L.A. He's a religious devotee of my show. He's compiled, like, the poetry of my show over the last years in small couplets and put it together in an e-book. At first, he was going to put it up on the internet, and I said, you can't do that. This is all copyrighted material. I looked at this stuff, and I started to shake what he did. Typeset, put together, best stuff picked. And he wrote, these are the found poems of American talk show host and writer Dr. Michael Savage, as edited by American artist and musician Sam Gendel. According to Encyclopedia Britannica, a found poem is one consisting of words found in a non-poetic context and usually broken into lines that convey a verse rhythm. The editor has taken measures to preserve the undeniable quality of Dr. Savage's language and claims no rights to the work. He, the editor, has merely acted to frame language as art, offering various topics as explored by Dr. Savage, but through an explicitly poetic lens. The editor hopes that the reader will begin to recognize a common thread weaving through his body of poems, and that he, the reader, will remember that what follows is one man's opinion, an opinion that is sharp, humorous, and most importantly, human. And then he collected all this stuff. I never knew anyone would do a thing like this. I said, Sam, hold off. Take it off the internet. You can't do it. This is copyrighted stuff. But I think I'm going to put it back out in some form, and I'll read it to you on the air over the next few days in pieces, because some of it's astonishing. I didn't know anyone listened that carefully to me. You know, it's amazing to me. I don't even know what to read you. Here, I'll read one piece he put on page 31. Freudian. All of us are crawling on one arm and one leg. We are all psychic cripples in one way or another. Do you really think you are a whole person because you went to Woodstock and laid in the mud? You know, if I ever do this, I'm going to set it to jazz music. And I'll tell you something else interesting about music. When the profile was written about me for The New Yorker by Kalefa Sena years ago, it was the biggest shock in the literary world because, what? You wrote that about him? How could you write that about him, the right winger? He has no poetry. He has no art. He has nothing in his soul. He's not a liberal. How can you write about him, bebop? Turns out that Kalefa Sena of The New Yorker had been a music critic for The New York Times for many years. And he started to listen to my show in New York City years ago, and he heard music. He didn't just hear didactic opinion. He didn't just hear Trotsky now disguising himself as a conservative selling a book on the Constitution inside the head of lettuce and a toupee. No, he didn't do that. He heard the music inside the voice, meaning the voice inside the music. He heard the jack-in-the-box inside the jack-in-the-box, and he heard the saxophone inside Jack's larynx. And he said, this guy's amazing. So he wrote that long profile of Michael Savage, which I cherish. I think it's the finest analysis, really, a capture of me. Better than any photograph ever taken of me is the New Yorker interview, which is still up on michaelsavage.com. So this guy, who just did the poetry of Dr. Michael Savage, is a saxophonist. Now, what does that tell you? Would a musician ever hear music in the voice of others? And I don't want to nail anybody. They do a good job. We need them all. It's a long day part. Someone's got to fill it. It may as well be somebody who can fake it as well as some of them do and have gotten away with G3 as far as they can fly. So there it is. Oh, these poems are good. Can I read you one more? Here it is. I got it. This is called Curtain Call, and it's the only one I'm going to read tonight. Now, picture jazz music. You have Coltrane. Neil, could you run Coltrane behind me as I read this? Is that a possibility? We're going to do an actual poem with some music, because I love Coltrane. I make believe you're in a cafe, Cafe Savage, and I'm the cafe proprietor. I'm coming out from behind the counter, throwing my apron down. He said, Mike, come on, give us one of your poems, Mike. Now, look, I got to serve the cappuccinos, macchiatos. No, Mike, please, come on out and read to us, would you? So if we can't get the music, I can't do it. I need to have the music right now. One of these nights, I'm going to do this in front of an audience with music. We're going to have jazz music. I'm going to read these things to you. Curtain call. At a certain point, the end is near. You don't know when, but you start feeling that. You feel the red curtain. You say, what's it all about? At the end of the day, it's to try and walk tall and not hurt too many people or yourself. But by all means, don't get on your knees. You're going to meet animals along the way. You're going to meet the worst form of humanity. You're going to meet the lowest vermin on the planet. Some posing as conservatives will cut your heart out for a dime. Some posing as religious will cut your heart out for a dime. The ones who wear it on their sleeve, watch out for them. The bigger the cross, the bigger the dross.
Savage.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Well, thank you. I have the great pleasure to introduce our next two speakers who are about to have a conversation concerning health care. And I thought hard about how to introduce these two men. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized how much they have in common.
It is a golden harvest today in the Savage Nation. In all the years I've been in radio, I've never seen a harvest of sound as we have seen today. A bumper crop for this coming October, Pumpkin Day. Here we had in one day Ted Cruz doing what needed to be done, which was filibustering the fools on the Hill. We had the president of so-called Iran, the so-called president of so-called Iran, refusing to meet with Obama, and the media saying that Obama and the president of Iran will not meet, without saying that the president of Iran ditched the meeting with Obama. At the same time that this was going on, wait, there's more. At the same time this was going on, shockingly, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Obama bought the United Nations. I mean, they bought it. They must have paid someone off. I don't know what they bought, who they paid off. During the General Assembly meeting at the Global Initiative, wherever in New York City, they tie up the city to filibuster about Obamacare, to put on a giant infomercial. And, of course, the little man, the minuscule man, the Lilliputian, the man without a soul, the empty suit, Wolf Blitzer, runs the entire thing without a commercial on CNN. It's a pure infomercial about Obamacare, which is, of course, as you well know, socialized medicine. If you like the health care you've heard about in Havana, you're going to have it here in America. But that didn't stop Hillary Clinton from introducing Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and going on and on and on all day about the wonders of socialized medicine. America's a dysfunctional nation, let's be clear. Remember the big thing in the 70s? That Schmendrick on Channel 9, PBS, the sicko who ran, everyone had a dysfunctional family, that idiot, that con man, remember him? Turned out he was a sicko of the worst order. Everyone's running around, oh yeah, I come from a dysfunctional family. That became popular for a while. America right now is a dysfunctional country for many reasons. You can point fingers in any direction you want. You know, but the fact of the matter is, for this country to think Hillary Clinton is electable is astonishing, because she is. Why? Because there is like a rampant disconnect between reality and the political structure. She orchestrated the Arab Spring. The Middle East is on fire. The woman wanted to reset relations with Russia. We almost had a new Cold War if we don't already. Benghazi alone would have sunk anyone else. They would have left the political world if they had any decency. They would have left. Nobody would stay in politics with that scandal around them. But because there's no media, because we're living in the equivalent of the Stalin era in Russia, where there's no criticism permitted against the Democrat in particular, and then you have a sold-out John Boehner and a Republican Party. So why wouldn't she be the front runner? There's no Republican. When you say Republican, who comes to mind? Who's going to run against her? Who can they dig up? I know there are people who are great, but let's be very clear. You need a machine to run for the presidency. You can't just be Mr. Smith goes to Washington and run as a populist and win. It's almost impossible. So who's out there? I don't even want to do it. It's too many years ahead. They're going to get slammed in the midterm elections. They're going to get slaughtered. Blood will flow in the next election. I can guarantee you, as I sit here, the people are not that stupid. They're going to take it out on Obama in the midterm elections. There's going to be a wholesale slaughter of Democrats across the American political landscape. A slaughter. I know it. The media won't tell you that. They'll lie to you right to the end. They'll bring out that slob, Candy Crowley and the others. Oh, yeah, right. Ba-ba, ba-boo, ba-boo, ba-bee, ba-ba. And you know they're going to lie to you. And the polls will all be wrong. But at the end of the day, the only poll is you. And you will throw them out in there, you know what's. That's going to happen. But after that happens, it's coming up very fast, the midterm elections. I wish to God it was the presidential election coming up, but it isn't. The 2014 election is going to be very telling. And I believe the Democrats are going to be slaughtered at the polls. Slaughtered. If they can get real Tea Party candidates running against them, returning more veterans running against them, real truth seekers running against them, there'll be a sea change in Congress. But the Democrats will not learn a lesson from it. They can't, for numerous reasons. It's a machine. You just got to watch Boardwalk Empire to understand how corrupt the political system is right now. Nevertheless, here we are. So the terror group Al-Shabaab says one of the attackers at the Westgate Mall in Nairobi, Kenya, is from Kansas City. Homegrown terrorists missed by DHS, FBI, CIA, and NSA. How could a homegrown terrorist from Kansas City go to Kenya, conduct such a massacre, and not have been on the radar of FBI, CIA, DHS, Naval Intelligence? Yes, ma'am. I mean, yes, sir. Two other Americans in Minnesota among nine people listed on a space since shut a Twitter account. So there we go. Three Americans, a group amongst those that committed the murder in Kenya, missed by FBI, DHS, CIA, Naval Intelligence, and the NSA. They were spying on you instead. That's right. You're the enemy to them. You're a bigger enemy to them than the Islamists are. What do they care about what's going on there? Not one movie from Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Matzenberg about Islamo-terrorism. Not one. Not one movie. You know, there was a time when there was a political class called conservative Democrat. During the Vietnam era, the Vietnam War era, there was a Scoop Jackson who was a conservative, patriotic American. He was a Democrat. Can you name one conservative Democrat today? Can you name one? The answer is no. They're all a member of the Communist Party USA under the guise of the Democrat Party. I don't care what you call it. There's almost no difference between the CPUSA and the principles of Nancy Pelosi. Almost none. Centralized planning, centralized control, suppress the people. CPUSA, Democrat Party USA. No difference. If Trotsky were alive and wore a skirt, he would sound like her. There'd be no difference between what he would say and what she says. She doesn't even understand it. They don't even know what they're saying, the context. So you think there'd be a political party on the opposition saying, wait a minute, that's not American. You don't say that anyone who opposes you is a terrorist or an arsonist. Did you hear what Nancy Pelosi said about anyone who opposes her big spending mentality? You got to listen to clip 15 now, to the Bugs Bunny of the Democrat Party, 15.
So I think it's really important to note that there are lots of excuses that they use, but for many of them, I call them legislative arsonists. They're there to burn down what we should be building up in terms of investments in education and scientific research and all that it is that make our country great and competitive. Right. I don't paint them all with the same brush, and I certainly don't paint the speaker with that brush. No. But enough of them in their caucus to shut down government.
Can you believe that a person who was once Speaker of the House of the United States of Representatives would say a thing like this? Legislative arsonist, that's something she'd get from an idiot from the Mission District who was high on cocaine or something. Some moron who was high the night before would throw that in her face. Oh, that's brilliant. Yes, yes, yes. That's just brilliant, Mark. Where'd you get that last night? We were at a restaurant in the Mission District? What do you mean legislative arsonist? What kind of idiocy is that? We live in a two-party system. One party wants to slow down spending. You don't call that legislative arson. You're the arsonist trying to burn the country down with a debt nobody can take care of. You want to talk about arson? You've been burning the Constitution. You're burning the entire institutions of America down. Building up. I love education. Investments. Don't you love it? Investments in education. What kind of investment is there in education? You're telling me that's an investment in education, paying for those kind of pensions? That's an investment? Scientific research. Scientific research and more fraudulent research on global warming. More of the other shibboleths of the left. Scientific research. It doesn't exist in America anymore. It's all political. And you're talking to a man who has a real doctorate from the University of California, who was in the science world, knows how the grant business works, and unless you submit a grant application that conforms to what the government wants to hear, you don't survive. Not only you don't get a grant, you're not in science. The age of Edison and Einstein are over. They've been over a long time. This is all government research. It supports a very strict and narrow government agenda. All of science today in America is agenda-driven. It doesn't mean the scientists per se are all bad people. They certainly aren't. Some of them are very idealistic, brilliant, wonderful people. But they cannot survive in the academic world of today unless they're following and pursuing and pushing a very narrow government agenda in science. It's just the way it works. So when I hear about investment in science, that's laughable and rubbish, pure rubbish. Can you name 10 scientific advancements that have occurred in the last 10 years in America? I can't. Name 10 major scientific advancements in American science in the last 10 years. Put aside Obama. I can't. I can't think of 10 advancements. There must be some. How come I don't know about them? I mean, I read science. I don't see the advancements. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I could stay on the air 24 hours. If someone would bring me food from an Indian buffet tonight at 2 in the morning, and then a breakfast buffet at 9 in the morning, and then another Chinese buffet tomorrow at noon, I could stay on the air for 24 hours. I've never done it. I don't know how that would work. I don't know. Would it energize me? I discovered something. I don't know. Maybe it would work. Maybe I should. Maybe the filibuster is the only way to break through the drug addicts in Congress. Maybe if we all filibustered the country, maybe we could save the nation if we all filibustered these wonderful human beings called politicians who have destroyed us and want to turn us into serfs. If not physical serfs, then psychic serfs, tax serfs. And I don't know about you, I never learned how to surf myself. I don't have a surfboard, do you? Anyone out there have a surfboard? I don't. We've gone everywhere from Monterey Calamari to the Cross of St. Benedict to medallions to dogs to poetry to nuns to religious services to medals to police to you to me, and here we are again. And the phone number is 855-400-SAVAGE. Could you play a little bit more of that music? It does my soul good to listen to Coltrane. Phil, let's hear a little Coltrane again. Just hit the old knob. Changes the pace a little bit. This is called Where Are They Now? You have to bomb for peace. You have to kill for peace. Joan Baez, Bob Dylan, the hippies of the 60s. Where are they now? Burning man in a wheelchair? Did they wheel themselves out into the desert to have one more rolling fling? Where are they now? Why are they not screaming from a rooftop? How many times? Why are they not singing that tonight? Leading the way, marching. Were they really ever anti-war? See, that's something that you have to understand, and those who know will always know, and those who don't will never. It's that simple. Those who know will always know, and those who don't will never. I wrote that when I was 14. I didn't even know what I was writing. Or did I? And that's why I like calamari from Monterey in a certain North Beach restaurant that you never heard of, which I won't tell you about. that's because I said to the owner, I said, I can't. He says, Mike, why can't you? He says, I got a picture of my calamari on your website. Why can't you put down another name? I said, because if I do, then I come in here. I can't even get a seat on a Friday. So it's a conundrum. I like to help my friends, but I'm not going to, you know, that's the end of it. So I go to have the calamari. That's when I found the medallion. After the calamari, I went across the street to Biordi Art Objects and bought some pottery that I had looked at for 30 years and never bought. I just wanted to buy a certain art, and I did. It was an interesting thing. And a nun was going by as I came out with this big pot in my hand from Italy, and she was in white going by. I never see nuns anymore. When I grew up in New York, there were nuns everywhere. There was a certain, you know, like I like rabbis in black and hats. I like nuns in white and all that. When I went to Jerusalem, I loved seeing the fervor in the eye of the priest and the religious Jew. How do you do? I like intense people. I like the costumes that go with it. At least I know where I'm at what time in history. So when I saw a nun in a black habit gliding down Columbus Avenue, I said, sister, can I make a donation to your church? And she turned and she said, well, we need some money for whatever she was doing. And whereupon I took $100 out of my pocket and gave it to her, and I said, thank you, God bless you, sister. And it was soon thereafter, I swear to God, that I found the medal, the St. Benedict medal. So you say, well, it's not connected, it's random, and what's the big deal anyway? Hey, look, my friend, if you want to be that nihilistic and believe in nothing, I pity you. You know, cynicism has its limits, let me tell you that. And the next time you realize that you really are empty inside, you realize that your cynicism, at the end of the day, is not helping you at all. It's probably killing you. It's not a reflection of your wisdom or your smartness. Sarcasm, believe me, I can do. Satire, believe me, how do you do? But let me tell you, there's a limit to it all, my friends. Cynicism has its limits. So that's the story tonight in the Savage Nation. That's just an amazing night. It's pregnant with possibility because there's a rule in radio. Here's how it works. If the host is interested in the subject, so will the listener be. If the host is just faking it, so they will not be. And so we can do politics. I can guarantee you I can do them as well as anybody. And to me, the Ted Cruz filibuster is a great story. The Pope stepping over the line, crossing out from the church into the state, and expecting me to not comment on it, I think is a ridiculous thing, by the way. How do you feel about the Pope suddenly? You hear what the Pope said? Let me read it to you exactly so I'm not misquoted again by the Catholic League, who I supported for 15 years, and they attacked me because I dared say that them stepping into the illegal alien thing and saying that we should have illegal aliens in America was a foul blow. And suddenly they ripped me apart as being anti-Catholic. Pope defends immigrants' rights, denounces slave labor. Every day I wake up, it's like Che Guevara now in Rome. Pope Francis urged countries today to welcome and respect migrants and refugees and not treat them as pawns on the chessboard of humanity. That's all well and good, Mr. Pope, but let me tell you something. Tell me about all the refugees in Milwaukee, some of whose children have gone to back to the Middle East to kill people. Tell me all about the fraudulent migrants and refugees who come here and suck my country dry, Mr. Pope. Who do you think pays for them? The church doesn't. I don't see the Catholic Church paying for the hearts and flowers of the migrants who come here and take what they can get and give nothing back. So it's nice to say that they're all coming here to work and they're all wonderful and hardworking, but we all know they're not when 51% of Americans don't contribute a nickel to the pot and take everything they can get, Mr. Pope. And he writes, they are children and women and men who leave or who are forced to leave their homes for various reasons, who share a legitimate desire for knowing and having, but above all for being more. They're not all working as slave labor, my friend. Of course we're against trafficking and exploitation. We all are. But please, give me a break. That is rubbish to tell us that every migrant is sacred and has rights above that of me, a natural-born American. Many of them are leeches. They come here to leech off us and to destroy our country. And they hate us so much, they go back to their home country as Islamists. Don't tell me they all come here to work hard. No, sir. A change of attitude towards migrants and refugees is a pardonable, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, all right. See, now the Pope is stepping out of the pulpit, and suddenly he's becoming a politician. That'd be the same as if, here, I'll give you an as if. That'd be the same as if, let's say, a president got up and started reading prayers in defense of his political philosophy. You'd find that offensive. The left would go crazy, right? The left who breaks crosses off war memorials. The left who blows up every granite monument that contains the Ten Commandments has told us that we have to have a separation of church and state. Have they not? So now we have a pope violating church and state in the opinion of one man. I don't do this to offend Catholics. I happen to think the Catholic religion is a beautiful religion. A beautiful religion. I love watching the rituals of the Catholic religion at night on television sometimes. It's a beautiful religion. But I really don't accept the fact that the pope has the right to suddenly become Che Guevara because he's in Rome, you know what I mean? It's very dangerous. And I'm not alone on this. I looked into this. Pope Francis denounces abortion after decrying church's focus on rules. He was very liberal in everything he said. And then all of a sudden he backtracked.
Savage.